Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show. The NBA, it is back, and we are cruising through the month of November. It is time now. We're going to head out to the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division, and shine the spotlight on the Philadelphia 76ers. And okay, so let's be a little bit honest here. Not very high expectations on Philly this year. The wins have certainly been elusive. They have opened the season with five straight losses, but in our next segment, we are going to focus on the positive. That's what I'm all about. The 76ers have certainly shown us, from what I've seen, to be a very competitive team. And it is time now to welcome in Gordon Jones. He is a sports writer. He is an author. Of course, the title of his new book that he has co-authored with Eric Stark is 100 Things 76er Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And Gordon is joining us on our Stuart Cadillac guest line. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. How are you, Gordon, on this Friday night?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
All righty. Well, Philly is off to another rough start, but what have you seen to give the 76er fans some hope? Because this team, it is loaded. It's comprised with a staggering number of young and very talented players.
Yeah, they seem to the idea that they've kind of embraced is that they will stockpile assets and draft picks and young players and see how the player development proceeds and see if they can turn some of those draft picks into pieces for the long term. So they don't have any high hopes for this season, but they want to try to develop and make sure, you know, see how their future unfolds. I mean, some of the players that they have, last year's Rookie of the Year, Michael Carter-Williams, has yet to play. As we speak, he's going to begin full-scale practicing, and they hope to have him back by the middle of the month. And Nerlens Noel has did not play last year, their young center, and he has shown some promise here in the early stages of the season. Another guy to think about is a rookie wing player by the name of K.J. McDaniels, a very athletic player. Last year at Clemson, he led the ACC in block shots at 6'6", which is kind of a rare achievement. So they have some pieces, and Joel Embiid, their pick this year, is probably not going to play all season. He's a center, and still relatively new to the game, actually. He's from Cameroon, but showed a great deal of promise last year at Kansas, and they think that he will be a piece that they can build around moving forward.
NBA sports writer and author Gordon Jones is joining us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into the interview. We would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports and also our podcast page at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Gordon, I have to tell you, it just seems like the rebuilding process has been going on forever with the 76ers. I mean, it's been a permanent facet of the team operations. I mean, what do you project in terms of when it will get better? I know you just highlighted some of the core, the key players, but what is your given timetable for them to turn this baby around?
It's a long haul. I mean, I think it's probably, I'm thinking 3 years beyond this one where they finally, you know, get competitive. I mean, they have a great deal of salary cap room. My question is, who's going to want to sign there? Because I can't picture anybody going there if the team is still mired down where they are. At the same time, I kind of understand the approach. The worst place to be is where they were, right in the middle of the pack, where you're not bad enough to get a great draft pick and not good enough to really make a deep playoff run. So they just stripped their roster down to the chassis and decided, okay, we're going to start over and see how we can do if we can build from the ground up. And so they've drawn a lot of criticism from around the league for doing it this way, for the whole tanking strategy. But I see what they're doing, and I don't disagree with it. I think there's some merit to what they're doing, because the worst place to be is to be stuck right in the middle where you just can't get to where you need to be. It's really hard to do. I in the last 30 years, only 8 different teams have won NBA titles, so you have to find superstars, and you have to build around them. And the next best place to be is down at the bottom, where you can hopefully build from the ground up like they're trying to do.
Now, Gordon, they open the season, as I said in the open, with 5 straight losses. I mean, when do you anticipate that they will win? Because they have had some, listen, they've had some really tough losses. I mean, the buzzer beater the other night against Orlando, they just,
right.
It seems like they've just got to clean up the fourth quarter. I mean, they're playing good for three quarters, but that fourth quarter, they've got to tighten those screws.
Yeah, and the fourth quarter against Orlando, they had 10 turnovers, which is...
Oh, ouch.
You know, just, you know, that's, you can't win playing that way. And going into that game, they had been outscored by 10 points per fourth quarter in their first 4 games. So, yeah, I think that's where their youth is reflected. They don't know how to close out games, and they don't really have any a go-to scorer. You know, as we mentioned, Michael Carter-Williams hasn't played yet this year. He had shoulder surgery back in May. So they don't really have anybody they can really look to go get a shot for them. So that's a problem. I mean, again, it gets back to the fact that if you have a superstar player in the fourth quarter, you can say, okay, go get us a basket or get to the free throw line, and they can do that. But when you have a young team and you're still establishing some semblance of an identity, that's really hard to uncover.
Now, Nerlens Noel, he left the game against Orlando with a sprained left ankle. How much time are they anticipating that he's going to miss? And share with us as well, Gordon, I mean, what has he shown you this season? As you had just kind of recapped for the listeners, he sat out all last season with that torn ACL, and now he's got this ankle sprain.
Right. I don't think that's a very serious thing. I don't think that'll be a real long-term issue. And he's shown... He's really skinny. He's only 217 pounds.
It's true, yeah.
That's pretty skinny to be playing underneath. At the same time, he has unusual quickness of foot and of hand. The other night, they played Houston, and he was matched against Dwight Howard, of course, much bigger and stronger. And, you know, time and again, you know, he'd be knocking balls away from Dwight Howard when he tried to back him down or whatever. And you know, you get in the passing lanes. He had 6 steals in the game. The problem is he only had 1 rebound the entire game, Nerlens. So, you know, and it came with 2:40 left in the game. So you can't have that, you know. So he's got to get stronger. But at the same time, he's shown himself to be an unusual athlete. One of the highlights from the Houston game on Monday night that's been widely circulated is at the end of the third quarter, James Harden, Houston's very fine guard, isolated on the perimeter, and he tried to go to the rim for a dunk at the end of the third quarter, and Nerlens came flying out of nowhere and blocked it. And that's the kind of play he can make. He's a very mobile, active guy, and a guy who can protect the rim, and that's what they're looking for in him. Now, his offensive game is very much a work in progress. His jump shot, Coach Brett Brown worked with him all last season. Before every game, you'd see him out there working with Nerlens on his shot, and it's still not quite mechanically sound. I mean, it still needs some work, but he's getting better. So there are a lot of things that Nerlens needed to clean up, but he's definitely a unique athlete. Last night, or against Orlando on Wednesday night, I should say, he actually led the fast break and threw a behind-the-back pass for a basket, which is not something you expect from your starting center. So he's a very unusual player. So I think you can find ways to accentuate his strengths and minimize his weaknesses, especially if he's playing alongside a bigger, stronger guy like Joel Embiid, which is what they envision at least right now.
NBA sports writer and author Gordon Jones is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we will be rejoined with Gordon Jones right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Hey, Gordon Jones is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Remember, we love hearing from you. Join us at Twitter at @eRadioSports. And Gordon is joining us on our Stuart Cadillac guest line. He is the author of the new book, co-author, I should say, of 100 Things 76er Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And I promise in just a moment we are going to break that down. But when you just evaluate the 76ers, I know they're missing some of their key parts. Where are the breakdowns coming from?
Where are the breakdowns? It's, right now the perimeter defense is not nearly as good as it should be. People, you know, make threes at will. Last year they also, I mean, it was pretty much a total breakdown. People got whatever they wanted whenever they wanted it. But their perimeter defense is just not that strong. I mean, Houston is a good 3-point shooting team anyway, but they were 16 for 34 from from three on Monday night against the Sixers. So that is something that they really need to clean up. The gentleman I mentioned before, KJ McDaniels, he looks like he's a very willing defender, but you still have to learn the league and learn that you're not going to get calls as a rookie. You know, there were a lot of times where he was matched on James Harden, and that's a really tough matchup for anybody, much less a rookie. And, you know, James in that game shot 17 for 18 at the foul line, and Brett Brown's comment after the game was, you know, he sort of said this sarcastically, was, well, I'm really happy that we shot more free throws than James. So those are the kind of things that befall a young team and a bad team. You're not going to get calls, you know, especially against a team like that where James is a really clever and capable player.
Well, they've got to get better defensively because last year they were 26th in the league, and they've got to have a better presence in the paint. Talk to me about head coach Brett Brown. What's your evaluation of the job that he's done? Because here he is, he's in his second season, and he came to Philly from a great organization, the San Antonio Spurs, and he was a part of, he knows what it is to win an NBA championship and mm-hmm. been a part of that culture.
Yeah, he was part of the organization for the first four of the five that they've won, and He's a very interesting guy because he has somehow through a season plus he has managed to at least publicly maintain his enthusiasm and his eye on the big picture, and that's really impressive to me. You don't see a great deal of frustration from him, which I think is really striking. I think he understands what's happening here and what needs to happen, and you know he made his bones in San Antonio as a player development guy, which is what he has to be here, and his staff is really capable and really active as far as trying to develop the guys that are there. You know, I mean, obviously, most of the guys that are on the roster now are not going to be there when they become good, but they're trying to identify those who might be and try to develop them to the best of their ability in hopes that, you know, maybe there'll be somebody they can, you know, keep around for the long term. An example of that would be there's a forward by the name of Brandon Davies, and last year he struggled quite a bit and really wasn't a very good offensive player, but this year he's shown himself to be capable of stepping out and hitting jump shots. On Wednesday against Orlando, he had 20 points, which is the most he scored in any game in a season plus. And two games earlier, he scored 18 against Miami. So he's shown that he can do some things that he had shown he wasn't able to do last year. So those are the kind of guys they're looking for, these diamonds in the rough that maybe they can, you know, keep him around as the nucleus of whatever it is they're building for down the line.
You know, Coach Brown, I thought he did a fabulous job with Michael Carter-Williams. I know we've highlighted him a couple of times, but he had a terrific season last year. You got to love being 6'6", 185 and bringing up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still has some areas where he can improve, Michael. I mean, he's not a very good defender, and that's a big issue. I mean, you mentioned his dimensions, you know, so much of the NBA game is the pick and roll mm-hmm. and trying to get through, over, around a bigger, stronger guy, and Michael just didn't show an ability to do that. So that gets back to what we were talking about before about the defense breaking down. I mean, the point guard gets into the lane, and now the defense has to collapse. The point guard can either get to the rim or kick it out for an open three. So I think that the whole defensive issue starts right there, and Michael even admitted that when during his Rookie of the Year acceptance speech, but just about how Brett Brown had been on him about the whole defensive end, and that's where he really has to step up. And the other thing was Michael shot in the 20% range from three last year. I mean, his shot mechanically doesn't look sound, and he really needs to improve in that area. So for a Rookie of the Year, it wasn't a real good rookie class, first of all, so somebody had to win that award. But Michael, I think, has a lot of room for improvement.
You're listening to the voice of Gordon Jones, NBA sports writer and author, and that's where we're going to transition right now. We are going to talk about the new book that he and Eric Stark, that they co-wrote together, 100 Things 76er Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Of course, Gordon is joining us on our Stuart Cadillac guest line. And so tell us about the book, because you certainly profile so many of the stars that wore the Sixers uniform, and Charles Barkley, Wilt Chamberlain, and Julius Erving.
Yeah, it's a pretty storied history. It's a bit of a tattered one. I mean, they've had their share of disappointments, and really they haven't had a strong contending team since 2001 when Allen Iverson was part of the mix. But, you know, there are some really historic names there, and you just mentioned some of them. And, you know, I would add Moses Malone and Bobby Jones and people like that. I mean, I think Moses really kind of gets overlooked as a great player and the whole NBA pantheon, but he was, they brought him in 1982. They had a really good team with Julius Erving and Bobby Jones and Maurice Cheeks and Andrew Toney, guys like that, but they needed one more piece, and they brought Moses in, and they won a title in 82, 83. Kind of interrupted the whole, in the 80s, it was the Lakers or the Celtics, but the Sixers kind of snuck one in there on them in 82, 83. And Moses is famous for saying faux, faux, faux before the playoffs, meaning that he thought the team would sweep three straight series and win the championship, and he was only one game off. They actually swept their first round series and their series in the finals against the Lakers and lost a single game in the Eastern Conference Finals of the Bucks. So it's a very interesting history with a lot of twists and turns, a lot of disappointments along the way. You know, the 82-83 team, you know, they look like they might be able to put something together, and the next year they lost in the first round of the playoffs. And the previous championship team had been all the way back in 66-67 with Wilt Chamberlain, and the next year Billy Cunningham got hurt in the playoffs, and they ended up blowing a 3-1 lead against Boston in the Eastern Finals and losing. So it's one of those things that they've had incredible highs and incredible lows. Of course, they also have the worst full season team in NBA history, the 9-73, 72-73 team, which, you know, there are those who think that this year's team can challenge that. In fact, I talked to one of the guys. They had the MVP of that team, if you can believe they had an MVP, was a guy named Fred Carter, who later coached the Sixers for a year. And I asked him last year if he thought that last year's team could have beaten the 72-73 team, and he said no way. He said that the 72-73 team would have beaten last year's team, which went 19-63. Yeah, that's the thing about the NBA. Expansion has really watered down the talent pool, and you'll have things like that. And there are teams that aren't quite as good as they were back in that era when there were only, I think, 15 teams, and you know, the talent pool was a lot more condensed.
Gordon Jones has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we were just highlighting and talking about his new book, 100 Things 76er Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And all I can say is it is the ultimate resource for true 76er fans. The holidays are here. What a great time to pick up a copy of this book. Congratulations to you and Eric.
Thank you.
And Gordon, we've got your number. We will be back in touch again real soon. Okay, thank you so much for joining us on this Friday night.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Gordon Jones has been joining us on our Stewart Cadillac guest line for the latest deals and models. Check out stewartcadillac.com. We will be right back at YSR. Yes, we are back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, on this Friday night. And we're going to kick it up a notch and catch up with our regular guest, our contributor. And that, of course, is Husker great Jason Peter. How are you, Jason? Did you survive? Did you have a big sugar high from all that trick-or-treating and Halloween candy? I hope you didn't get sick.
Oh, yeah. And now I'm finding candy everywhere. I mean, there's half-opened M&M's packages in the laundry basket. The kids are, you know, you kind of forget what you did as a kid. And, when something like that happens where you're finding some candy that they stashed, it brings you back to your childhood. So the same things that we did, they're doing as well.
Oh, it's such a fun time of year. Okay, so talk to me. It's been a couple of weeks since we've really delved in and got in about talking about your Huskers. They're ranked 15th right now, 8-1, 4-1 in the Big Ten Conference. They've got a bye this week, but that's perfect timing with their big, big trip that's on the horizon against Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of for the first time, I think, since the season started, people really not are worried, but, you know, let's face it, I mean, this offense has revolved around Amir Abdullah. And in the Purdue game last week, he sprained his MCL. It was bad enough that he didn't finish the game. And Nebraska really, not that they were smooth when he was in there, the offense, it was, it seemed like we took some steps backwards, you know, with offense, even when Amir was in there. But afterwards, you could tell that the offense just does not conduct itself with the same sort of flow as when number eight's in there. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, whether people really feel he's worthy or not, you know, he was a legitimate Heisman contender. You know, that kind of seems to have fallen by the wayside. But
you know, against Wisconsin, Nebraska and Wisconsin have, Wisconsin's always been a major hurdle for Nebraska. And, you know, it's ironic because Barry Alvarez kind of modeled that program when he took over as coach and then in the athletic director position. He kind of modeled it after Nebraska. He was a former linebacker for Nebraska back when Bob Devaney was the coach. So this place kind of holds a special place in his heart, but he's built that program the same way that those great Nebraska teams were, you know, with big, strong offensive linemen, keeping those in-state guys in-state, not letting any good players that are born in that state and raised in that state get away and, you know, play for another Big Ten school or even just, you know, any other school. And play good defense, and that's kind of what Wisconsin has done so far. I mean, the offensive line, it's not a great offensive line, it's a good offensive line. The defense, you know, I think statistically is ranked, I think, number one in the country. Now, you know, that kind of, you need an asterisk next to it. Obviously, playing in the Big Ten,
mm-hmm.
you're not looking at the same sort of competition as if you played in the SEC or even the Big 12 or Pac-12. So, you know, it's a big game for Nebraska, especially with the uncertainty surrounding Amir Abdullah. But Nebraska needs this one if they want to get to Indy for that Big Ten championship game.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. He is joining us on our Stewart Cadillac guest line. Stewart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. And you've mentioned Amir Abdullah with this minor sprain on his MCL. He's projected to return on November 15th at Wisconsin. But talk to us about who is really excelling as a freshman.
DeMornay Pearsonell. Yeah, this guy has... I mean, I think up to this point, besides Amir, you could make a case for him as most valuable player on his team. And he's a Percy Harvin type player. You know, the frame is kind of built, but kind of low to the ground, a little stocky, but can just explode and can just cut on a dime. He's returning kicks for us. He's getting more involved now in the offense as he's had some time. You know, there's a lot on true freshmen's plates, you know, not just here at Nebraska, but everywhere. It's, you know, you're moving away from home. You've got a college academic course load that you got to deal with. You know, you've got football. You've got weight training. I mean, it's a full schedule. So lots of times it takes, you know, maybe till about half the season for some of these freshman impact players to really have a true impact. But he's been helping us since day one on special teams, and that's the one area of this football team that I don't think anybody is losing any sleep over. I mean, people feel pretty good about where the special teams is right now at this point in the season, and a large part of that is because of DeMornay.
Okay, Jason Peter with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, and the game that is make or break for both of the teams is Ohio State at Michigan. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm a huge Urban fan. I just don't know if they have what it takes to get it done in East Lansing. You know, not that Michigan State is they're not world beaters either. They play great defense, and you know, the offense has come along. Connor Cook has come along. You know, they got a good running back in Langford. The offensive line is good, but you know, it's like whenever you talk about a Big Ten team, you always have to remind yourself, well, it's a Big Ten team. And how does that fit in to the national picture? I mean, the one real game that we had versus somebody else, you know, was the Michigan State-Oregon game. And, you know, Oregon now finds themselves in the number four spot in the college football playoff rankings. But that was, you know, at the beginning of the year. And
you know, it's hard to really judge where these Big Ten teams are, especially now, because all they're doing is playing each other. And, you know, with Ohio State losing Braxton Miller, I know they only have one loss, but, you know, looking at Virginia Tech now, it really looks like a bad loss. And, you know, I know there are a lot of people thinking, well, maybe Ohio State, you know, maybe Urban's been able to put a Band-Aid on this whole thing. And I think he has put a Band-Aid on. But, you know, there's definitely still a major wound underneath that Band-Aid without Braxton Miller. I would, you know, if I was a gambling man, which I'm not, I would have most of my money with the Spartans. I just feel strongly that Michigan State will win this game, and you know, from here on out, I mean, they obviously have some more football to be played, but I would envision Michigan State in Indy for the Big Ten championship game.
Well, and next week we can get into Alabama, TCU. I mean, have they earned their way to a top four spot? And all eyes will certainly be on that TCU-K-State game and to see how that plays out. Jason, always a pleasure. We're short on time. We appreciate you dropping by. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at YSR. Okay, the Big E Sports Show rolls on in our final segment at Yahoo Sports Radio, and it is a very big weekend in college football. We have highlighted, we have talked about it over the past 2 hours, major games affecting the rankings from top to bottom. But right now, I want to head to Austin. I want to check in with our very good friends at Horns Illustrated. That is Steve Habel. Good evening, Steve. Of course, Steve is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. You would look really good in a Cadillac.
Yeah, I would look good in a Cadillac. Almost like Matthew McConaughey looks good in a Lincoln.
Ah, that's so true. Yes, we have seen that commercial. Okay, so here we are, Steve Habel. We are in the second week of November. And talk to me about your Longhorns, because it seems like they finally are starting to hit some stride. They took care of business last weekend against Texas Tech, and they got their fourth win of the season. So we're 9 games into the season. What kind of progress do you see Texas making?
You know, that's, I really didn't have very high hopes for Texas a couple games ago, but I think they've kind of turned the corner. Beating a Tech team that's not very good is not necessarily an indication of that specifically, but the fact that the mood seems a little lighter around campus. Coach Strong seems to know that he's identified the players who are going to be with him and who are not. The players understand that as well, too, so that it was a little bit more lighthearted Monday, at the Monday availability for him. And I think Texas is in prime condition to make a little run here at the end of the season. This weekend's game against West Virginia is a huge key to that thing.
Well, I hear you saying that they can build on this momentum against West Virginia.
Yeah, I think that they actually have a better-than-even chance of beating West Virginia this week if Texas can perform offensively. You know, West Virginia's had a couple of tough games the last few weeks where they've had to fight, and they've come up short on a couple of games. You know, and they might be down a little emotionally. This is a good time for Texas to be getting there.
Well, a number of positives when we reflect on that game against Texas Tech. I think the running backs, what they had their best game of the season, and the offensive line, they really stepped up too.
Yeah, the offensive line, you know, their development was stunted a little bit in Lissa because of the fact that they had a starter, Dominic Espinosa, go down for an injury, and they've had some guys suspended there. But they're finally starting to gel as a group, and that's really the key to Texas' resurgence of offense. Really, what they do on the whole team, because as long as the offense keeps it out there and keep the defense off the field, then that helps the defense play against some of these high-powered offenses that they're going to see in the conference.
Okay, tell us about the development of your quarterback, Tyrone Swoops. He has displayed his ability. He can definitely sling it, can he? He can throw deep.
Yes, Swoops has a wonderful arm. It's just a matter of him having the time to uncork those passes. And again, that goes back to the development of the offensive line, Alyssa. When he can stand back there and go through his progressions, he can be as good as any quarterback in the conference. The problem is that he hasn't had that confidence to be able to do that a lot. He did that very well in the second half last week against Texas Tech. The offensive line had worn down Tech's defense. And Swoops looks great when he can stand there, stand tall, and let it go. But then just about anybody does. I think you could throw a pass behind the offensive line that's blocking and just letting you stand there without pressure.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. But he's getting better. We see a little bit week by week of his improvement, and he's got a bright future here. We think, as long as he continues on the upswing.
And do you think he's getting more comfortable with the playbook?
Yeah, I think he's fine with the playbook. It's not, you know, the coaches have not force-fed him a lot of stuff that they didn't think he could do. So but they are adding things every week, and we see it. We see it in the games, different plays, different formations, different reads that he has to make. So, this wasn't really expected of Tyrone Suggs to start the season. Everybody thought David Ash should be the quarterback here, even in the spring and in the fall practices. So you have to tip your hat to him to take this role and run with it as best he could.
Well, and it can be so overwhelming. I mean, it seems like Swoops is really understanding just the demands that come with being the starting quarterback at the University of Texas. I mean, that's not easy to make that type of transition and be in that spotlight.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Those demands are high. I mean, it was said years ago that being the quarterback at the University of Texas would be even more important than being the governor of the state of Texas. But, I don't know if that's the case anymore, but it certainly is a high-profile position.
Okay, a very big challenge on Saturday as the Texas Longhorns, they face West Virginia, a team that gave TCU quite a scare last week. And I can promise you, ball security is going to be critical. I mean, you cannot have costly turnovers.
Yeah, and Texas has not done a really good job of forcing turnovers. They actually had 3 or 4 interceptions that they dropped last week against Tech. But they need to make a couple of plays on the defensive side of the ball as far as turnovers, and maybe a good special teams play to really be able to beat West Virginia. West Virginia is a salty team. They're well coached.
Yes.
They've got good defense. They've got a great wide receiver that really can, he's over 1,000 yards for the season. So they, it's a matter of making big plays at the right time. And Texas team's prime. They have one of those big games that they've needed all year.
Well, they have needed one of those big games because we just look down the calendar, and in the month of November, oh my goodness, Thanksgiving, what a treat. That's going to be an awesome game against TCU.
Yeah, and if Texas can win against West Virginia and go on the road and beat an Oklahoma State team that's not been playing very well lately, then the TCU game is really meaningless as far as standings is concerned. Texas will be in a bowl game then. Everybody knows TCU is really been a surprise this year. Was it not a surprise to me and not a surprise to you? So we know what such matters you can do there.
Mm-hmm.
We are kind of surprised about their offensive prowess. I'm sure you are as well. But they're going to come in here to make a statement on Thanksgiving night, especially if TCU can win the next couple of games and get to Thanksgiving right there at the cusp of that college football playoff standing.
Okay, tell me about Jonathan Gray and Malcolm Brown, just your evaluation of even last week's performance, but just kind of overall, just a synopsis of their season, how that's playing out for them.
Well, I think that they're both solid backs. We've been talking about that for years about those two. A running back can't run unless he doesn't have holes to run through. And that's been a lot of the situation with Brown and Gray this year. Brown is a hard-nosed runner. He's not afraid to stick his head into a pile. He never has been, and he's had to do that a lot more this year. Gray, we saw last week against Tech, him make a jump cut going through a hole during a touchdown run that we have not seen from him since he hurt his Achilles last year against West Virginia. So that makes us think that he is back to 100%. Those two guys are team leaders, and how they run and how they perform is an indication of how good the team is going to be.
Okay, so what's the forecast for Texas? Will they become bowl eligible as you look at the remainder of the schedule and the season?
Well, I think this game this weekend is the biggest key to that. I think I've kind of predicted from the start of the season that Texas would be 6-6. I got kind of poo-pooed about that at the start, but now 6-6 would be great for this team at this point. If they can beat West Virginia this week, and Texas has not played especially well at home, but if they can beat West Virginia at home and then go to Oklahoma State and beat an Oklahoma State team that, like I said before, is not hitting on all cylinders right now, then they're in a bowl game. Then, and that bowl games are so important to a team, especially a young team like Texas, because they get the extra practices that lead up to the bowl game. And that really has to be the focus right now.
Well, I know it's been a tough season for Longhorn fans. Just give me a quick hit. How are they? Are they being patient with Coach Strong?
I think it's a 50-50 shot right now with that. A lot of people are not really happy with what's going on here with Coach Strong, and Texas is not used to losing, and nobody knows that more than Coach Strong. To be quite honest, I have really become a big fan of Coach Strong, the way he's handled the situation he's been given here, the way he's developed players. A lot of people would say that the cupboard was pretty bare when he got here. Hard to believe after all those great years under Coach Brown, but he's a, you know, Coach Strong has kind of done with what the best with what he's got here, and it's a tough schedule. You know, people forget that the Big 12 is loaded with hard-nosed teams that can really play football. So, and he knew what he was walking into here, and so he's done a great job adapting and doing the best he can.
And a transition period, a different mindset, a different approach when we talk about head coach Charlie Strong. Hey, Steve Habel has been with us from Horns Illustrated. Go to hornsillustrated.com. Always a pleasure to catch up, Steve. And I know you're a Heisman voter, and we are very anxious to get your thoughts on how that's going to unfold in the weeks to come. Thank you so much, Steve. Have a wonderful weekend with your family. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Alyssa.
That, of course, was Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated. And now it's time to thank all of our guests, our amazing lineup. Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Jeff Garcia from ProjectSpurs.com. Rick Schaefer talking about the University of Arkansas. Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4. And Gordon Jones with our NBA update on the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.